May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From the gospel lesson, these selected verses for our text today. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is our text. Friends in Christ, the old familiar hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," includes these very familiar words, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." What a privilege. Do we always feel that way when we're praying, or we think we ought to pray, that it is a privilege? We've all sung those words. How many of us actually use the word privilege in connection with prayer? Maybe it's more accurate to say that we think of the word hard work or chore. I don't know if we would say impossibility, but some might. The fact is, praying is not something everyone finds so very easy to do. It doesn't come naturally, automatically, to many people. And just as not all of us have the gift of teaching or music or perhaps evangelism, sharing our faith easily with other people, strangers, in fact. So not all of us have the gift of praying. At least we may not think we do, and especially in public. We might do any or all of these things a little bit, but not with the same ease as someone who, for whom it comes just naturally. But we should all pray anyway, and we should pray every day. Three ministers were having a discussion about prayer and got onto the topic of the most appropriate and effective position for praying. And as they were talking, a telephone repairman was working on a phone system in the corner of the room, listening to what they were saying. One minister said that he felt the key to good prayer was in his hands. What he meant by that is that he always held his hands together like this, with his fingers pointing upward, as a form of symbolic worship. The second minister believed that it was an absolute must to be on your knees, humbly praying. And the third argued that the only position worth its salt was to pray while stretched out flat on your face on the floor. Well, listening intently to what the ministers were saying, the phone man could no longer stay out of the conversation, so he went over to the table and he said, "I found in my life the most powerful prayer I ever made was while I was dangling upside down by my heels from a power pole suspended 40 feet above the ground." And I guess if we're in that situation or something similar to that, we better know how to pray. Some people, I would add another position perhaps, and I've heard others say this, when you're on your back in the hospital looking up is the best position to be in to pray. You can't do anything else. You're there looking up. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, and you know, this was very customary. Any rabbi who had students that they were teaching would teach them a way of praying. It was expected by the students. And so this was common. It wasn't out of the ordinary that they would come to the teacher, their rabbi, Jesus himself, and ask him how to pray. He didn't give them a class in yoga. He didn't tell them to assume any position while they prayed. Instead, he gave them what the army might call hip pocket training, an off-the-cuff framework, model, or outline for prayer. And wow, was it an excellent one. It survived the test of time, hasn't it? He wanted them and us to be confident prayer warriors, always faithful and believing in what the words we were saying meant, and being confident in those words, even in those thoughts, to be confident prayer warriors. Jesus wanted his disciples, of course, to pray, but also to know that the heart of prayer is really not technique. It's not terminology. It's not structure. It's not posture. The heart of prayer is our very own relationship with God our Father. That's why even as children adopted into his family, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." Christian prayer is not like the prayers of some people in the world who view prayer as kind of a negotiation process with this great superpower. Or they may appeal to God's ego, what they think is God's ego, with flowery speech and generous portions of praise and promises and pledges. Or they may appeal to his sense of justice by offering many prayers, many, many prayers in the hope of shaming God into action. Well, the prayers of Jesus' followers do none of those things. In teaching the Lord's Prayer, Jesus takes us more deeply into what I would like to call the three R's of prayer. Prayer as a ritual, and therefore something we can safely go back to, return to. I guess the word ritual to some people probably in regard to worship in any way seems a little bit fakey, structured maybe. But I'd like to refer to the Lord's Prayer, first of all, one R, as ritual. Because as we very often recite by rote memory certain prayers like the Lord's Prayer or table prayers, other kinds of prayers before we go to bed, when we get up in the morning, Luther's morning prayer, evening prayer, we memorize those words, but they bring us comfort. I know Sylvia and I have been praying different table prayers lately. One I was taught a second verse to, which you all know, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let these gifts to us be blessed. And may there be an ample share on every table, everywhere. Or the eyes of all look upon you, O Lord, and you give them their meat in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." A good table prayer, and it comes right word for word from the Psalms. Or, "Heavenly Father, bless us in these thy gifts, which we receive from your infinite mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord." All of those are quick and sensible and easily remembered prayers. Well, the Lord's Prayer is very compact, isn't it? Yet so full of what it needs to be said. And we can fall back on it in times of stress, in times of danger, in times of trouble. And so we can refocus our lives then when things go off kilter. I just wonder how many of those people on those planes flying into the Twin Towers engineered by the terrorists could say the Lord's Prayer. They had at least a few moments to say the Lord's Prayer or recite the 23rd Psalm before they were no longer alive, but alive in heaven. Or many, many other situations, train accidents, where there's a few moments before the impact. Sometimes we only have time to say, "Help me, Lord." And that's a prayer too. And in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, we find exactly what we need to get right back on track. We refocus, we find our purpose, and acknowledge God Himself. First of all, we focus on our Father, understand that God brings us His kingdom, not the other way around, not ours, but His kingdom, and acknowledge that He gives us exactly what we need each and every day. Daily bread, as we know from Luther, applies to everything we need from day to day. And we also recall truly God is in charge, not us. The ritual of reciting the Lord's Prayer, getting back to the first R again, pulls us back from the brink of focusing just on ourselves, on our own egos, tearing us away from thinking that we are the ones in charge of our lives. The ritual of recitation enables us to take a spiritual breather. We don't have to think about the words. We know them by heart, by memory. And we can find new energy and purpose when on certain occasions we feel as dried up and blown away as Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. Maybe there aren't any words there. Well, again, in Paul's letter to the Romans, he says that the Holy Spirit will speak to the Father on our behalf if we can't even come up with words. And remember always that God reads your mind. He knows your thoughts. You don't even have to say a word. But we have the words of the Lord's Prayer. Yes, the Lord's Prayer can seem a little repetitive and ritualistic. And how tempting it can be for others to say, I just mumble through it. I muddle through it. How boring to say it again and again. And yet, how comforting to have this very touchstone of your faith as a framework for relating to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The disciples needed that prayer because it was quick and easy, and if you will, helped to develop their faith and our faith. But Jesus went on to help them to understand the importance of prayer. It's not just ritual, is it? Prayer can also serve as a reminder. And that's our second R. It's not just ritual. Jesus wants us to know that prayer is a reminder that God cares about us and He gives His love to us. God's goodness and His promise to care for us is right there. So in this His usual excellent fashion, Jesus crafted another brilliant parable to demonstrate what He meant to His disciples and to us. There was this persistent man, Jesus said, continuing to knock on his friend's door because he just needed some bread for a visitor. Serves really as a reminder to us that we must keep on praying when it might be easier just to simply give up. He kept on knocking, knocking, knocking. The parable reminds us that God is good and will give us only what is good for us. Not detrimental, not harmful, only what is good for us. We may have to wait for the answer to come. And it's not always the answer that we really want to hear. And so prayer can be ritual and it can be a reminder. When things are tough, we're faced with those sudden dangers. Sometimes the only words we can pray that come out of our mouths may be the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm. It may seem childish, but realize that God is with you in that prayer and all of your prayers. We're reminded of this prayer and parable that we have a loving Father, and He does listen, He does care, and He does act. For He says in His word, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. Call upon Me. I will deliver you. And you will glorify Me. And so He delivered us from all evil of body and soul in the best way He knew, by sending His only Son to take care of all of our needs of body and soul by his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary and the resulting resurrection, so that because he lives, we shall live also. We will live also, no maybes about it. And we will be exalted, even as Christ was exalted at the right hand of his Father. And that reminder was expressed very well by someone who once said, you know, prayer is not a garage from which we borrow God's tools in order to take home and take care of our needs, repairing something. Prayer is submitting to the master mechanic who will take care of us. I really do like that. And he makes his repairs with us. So we have learned that the ritual of prayer comforts and soothes, and that the reminder God is our caring Father goes a long way to helping us pray with faith, with confidence, with devotion. And now Jesus reminds us of the third R, that God who provides and who comforts is also the God who renews and rejuvenates us through just conversation with him. The Lord's Prayer is one of the best. Here's a prayer to fall back on, then to rely on for times of stress, a way of remaining in touch with God. God always cares for us and gives us what is good. Therefore, we can be rejuvenated, renewed, re-energized again and again by the Holy Spirit, revived for our faith-filled, confident, and even exciting life in our Lord Jesus Christ, always full of thankfulness to God. And that's another point about call upon me in the day of trouble. He also added the thankfulness part, and you will glorify me. In a drought-stricken town in Texas, and there's probably a few drought-stricken towns around this country, at this time of year, things were so bad, so desperate, that the town leaders finally called on the local preacher they have to pray for rain. And so he called a special prayer meeting at the local church, and he agreed to do that and gathered everyone one evening together in the local church. And it was packed like the proverbial can of sardines. And the minister came out and all set to do the service and approached the pulpit. He looked over the crowd, looked very carefully, by the way, and said, "Folks, let's all go home. There's no sense in praying to God today. I see that no one brought an umbrella." Do we pray expecting the answers to come? Without a doubt. That's real prayer. If we only pray as ritual over and over again, it's not enough. If we only pray as a reminder, it's not enough. We must also pray for revival of our complete trust and faith in what God will do and is doing, for rejuvenation, so we no longer doubt. It's a new way to spell prayer with three R's, as you saw in the bulletin. As we think of prayer in this way, it will not only sustain us in hard times, but project us into a much deeper and personal relationship with God, our loving Father, who is in heaven, yes, but is also wherever we go. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs, sins and griefs to bear. Yes, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer and never give up. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.